Let's play a game. First of all, it's 22 minutes after 10 o'clock, but that's not important. What's important is this. I'm going to play a piece of music now, and you call up and tell me what the music is from. That's nice and simple, isn't it? Shouldn't have a problem with that. The number is 632-6901. And now... person got it right. Well, I'll tell you who it is. It's a person named Julie Cruz. I'll even tell you what the song is called. The song is called The Nightingale. But that's not what's important. What's important is, where is that music from? Have you heard it before? Does it sound somewhat familiar? Maybe we'll play something else from that. And you can give us a call at 632-6901 and tell us. Well, maybe this person has the answer. Let's see. Good evening. Is anyone there? No, that's incorrect. But it's the closest we've gotten yet. Have one of those songs where you listen to it years later and you realize it was a terrible song, even though you may have liked it at the beginning. Not that I like that song. I never liked that song. I always hated that song. But a lot of songs don't age well. A lot of songs get outdated, you know, and you look back and you wonder how you could have ever even considered listening to something like that. And some songs improve with age, but I suspect that's not going to be one of them. Ah, yes. Well, there are some songs that do get dated, and this one is one that I'm real happy did.
Free Nelson Mandela. Free. 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 Free Nelson Mandela.
about you, Jim, but I think that skip sounds pretty good. Jim? Hello, Jim. Jim. Earth Jim. We've lost Jim. Oh, no, he's breaking up. Okay, we found Jim. Jim, are you there?
Yes. Of course, the question is, have I found myself?
Well, what do you think of this skip? I think it's a pretty good one.
I like it. It's actually, it sounds like it was either originally performed that way or it's deliberately been sampled that way.
I suspect that there's something wrong with this turntable because I've been listening to USB all day long and there have been an unusual number of record skippings.
Really?
Have you noticed that?
No, actually, I didn't have a problem on the classical program. Maybe I was just lucky. Maybe it's a problem with the tracking of the...
Yeah, but I mean, you can never tell when a classical record is skipping anyway, right? I mean that in only the best of ways.
I have no doubt. No doubt.
You know what I suspect it is?
What's that?
I noticed looking at the turntable here that the little wires at the base of the tone arm seem to be strung around in circles a little bit. This is somebody took the tone arm and went around in circles a few times. So whenever it gets to a certain point, I'm going to lift the needle up here. Yeah, it gets tighter, so I'm going to undo it here. Whoops. Yeah, now it's a bit looser, and I think that'll probably make it sound a little bit better anyway.
Yeah, let's see.
Well, let's see if we can get through this song, and then we'll come back with some surprises, huh?
Good enough.
All right. And there it is, Special AKA Free Nelson Mandela here on WUSB on Brain Damage, and a song that may well have become outdated, but it's a good thing. Interesting thing when you listen to that song, 21 years in captivity. Of course, he spent 27 years in captivity, so that tells you that song came out in 1984. Interesting how arithmetic works. But historic week, Nelson Mandela coming to New York, and... Jim, were you in Yankee Stadium at all?
No, I wasn't, actually.
I was.
Oh, you were?
I knew you weren't there because I was there and I didn't see you.
You didn't see me, of
no,
course.
No, but what an incredible event. I imagine you probably know people that have gone.
Yes, I do, actually.
It was it was amazing. The most amazing event I've ever seen in Yankee Stadium. And I've seen a lot of events in Yankee Stadium. I've seen, Yankee games, I guess. And I saw a New York Cosmos game once, which was a lot of fun. But this was the first, I think it was the first time ever that they played music in Yankee Stadium, you know, where they had a musical band and things like that. Actually, supposedly the first time that was ever going to happen was Billy Joel the night after, which was Thursday night. Friday night. But since he donated all his equipment to the people with the rally, and they played music. That was actually the first night there was music in the stadium, which is incredible. And
yes.
Not only music, though. More important than music was just the spirit of the place. You know, 50,000 plus people gathered together, all feeling so unified and at peace. It was the friendliest crowd I think I've ever been a part of. Got to know just about everybody around in the stands. You know, everybody was really outgoing and friendly. But the interesting thing was, I don't know if you've ever gone. Have you ever gone to Yankee Stadium?
I've actually never been to Yankee Stadium.
Well, I don't suggest it because it's very confusing. When you get a ticket, they tell you where to sit.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're in a box seat, and I was in a box seat, you have to go to, they give you a box number. I think we were 224 or something like that. And we were seats 3 and seats 4. Okay. Now, the way boxes work, they're boxes. There's 3 seats on the bottom and 3 seats on the top, but they don't look like boxes. They look like, you know, a part of a row of seats. So the seat numbers go 1, 2, 3, and then 3, 2, 1. So you're not sure which 3 you belong in, if you belong in this 3 or the one that's right next to it.
Oh.
And in the course of the evening, we were reseated, I think, about 10 times. Now, 5 of those times we knew we were in the wrong seats, but we were trying to get better seats because the ones we had would have been great for a ball game. You know, we were right up there. But unfortunately, the podium was out in left field, and the foul ball pole obstructed that pretty good. So it wasn't really a good seat for that kind of a thing.
I see.
So we moved around all over the place. But what was really funny was the fact that everybody around us, a good 20, 25 people, at some point, they all had to move because the people that had their seats came along. And they all thought they were in the right seats. They all thought, well, wait, I'm in seat number 3 here. But, oh, but this is box 226. You have to be in box 224, which is over there. One poor person was on the wrong side of the ballpark. They had to walk about a mile to get to the other side.
Oh, wow.
But the thing is, nobody really understood how the seating worked. Everybody thought it was the craziest thing. And a lot of people that came in pairs wound up sitting one behind the other, which is really a silly way to see something,
you
but
mean,
that's the way box seats work.
Oh, I see.
So if you had
top
seats,
and bottom,
you had
I
seats 3
see.
And 4, the person who had 3 was in front of you and 4 was in back of them. And it wasn't very nice at all. But apart from that, which is probably the most minuscule thing I could point to, it was the most incredible event. Tracy Chapman and, who else? The Sweet Honey and the Rock. The kid from the Cosby Show was there, Malcolm whatever.
Malcolm Jamal Warner.
Yeah, that's the kid. And all kinds of other performers. A steel drum orchestra you would not believe. Steel drum orchestra of about 40, 50 people. We saw them all filing to the stage in suits and pink shirts. And we didn't know what they were going to do. We didn't know who these people were. And then they just started playing steel drums. And it was the most incredible thing. And they did the can-can. Okay, which sounded like a complete orchestra with all kinds of effects and everything.
Wow.
The only other instrument they had was a real drum set, but everything else was done with steel drums, and I never knew you could make those kind of sounds.
Yeah, steel drums are absolutely amazing.
Yeah, they are. I don't know how it works. They had a conductor and everything.
Yeah, it's an extraordinary, what doesn't seem at first to be possible to have in the way of differentiation of tones is quite possible and quite intricate, and it's quite an art, I would think, in constructing the drums themselves, and of course in playing and in composing for them and in
conducting
for them.
That's right. Each drum sounds different.
Yes,
and played in unison, they can do amazing things. You know,
yes.
make it sound like all kinds of different instruments.
Yes,
but of course, the highlight of the program, of the whole show, was actually seeing Nelson Mandela
mm-hmm.
show up on stage, you know, and realizing the moment in history this is, where this courageous person is finally out, finally free, finally
yes.
able to speak his mind. And I think even more than that is just the reaction of the people around, just to see such strength and unity and courage, because you realize for all these people to be able to believe in something for so long and against such odds, it takes a lot of guts to do that.
Yes, it's very true.
You might say, over here in America, they're safe. You know, that you can believe what you want, but that's not really all that true, because what you believe in can get easily wiped away a lot more subtly. But who's going to care about what's happening in a land thousands of miles away?
That's right.
It's so easy to forget, but these folks haven't forgotten, and it's really inspiring.
It is.
And, there are people of all different nationalities in the crowd, and that was good to see, too. And I think, we've heard a lot about the racial problems in New York over the last few months, and it's times like this you realize that, to a degree, they're exaggerated. To a degree, it's media hype, because there's a lot of one-on-one camaraderie between the ethnic groups in New York, and there's occasions like this that to make her realize that.
Yeah, I think your observation is a very good one. When one looks at the events of recent times, I mean, there certainly is a lot of it certainly seems to be a lot of racial tension. Now, some of it could be hyped by media exposure, but even if it's not the result always of media exposure, even if there is real tension, and even if there is a significant amount of racial tension, I think that an event like this shows how important context, or maybe what I'm looking for more is how certain circumstances can, I think, lead to situations with either more tension or less tension, and more of an attempt at not only tolerance but at actual understanding and cooperation. And even if there's not always agreement between individuals or groups of individuals, there is certainly a big difference between honest disagreement carried out in good faith, and an attempt at working out, if not complete agreement, some kind of compromise, difference between that and a difference between outright mindless hostility that can take place. And I think an event like the coming of Mandela to New York, and a figure like Mandela, what he has been through, what he showed in the way of courage and perseverance and commitment, I think that sets an example for all of us. And also, the as you mentioned, the perseverance as well of those who were supporting him and pushing for his release, and all of the related reforms surrounding his release, or actually reforms that still need to be put in place. The perseverance of those people can also be an example to many, and can inspire people in general to at least attempt to reverse a direction of needless polarization. And again, I emphasize, it doesn't mean that everybody has to agree with everybody else, and I'm sure you feel the same way I do about that, that there's nothing wrong with an honest discourse of disagreement, of different people having different views and expressing different needs and outlooks, with a view towards understanding one another's point of view better and working towards improving relations between people and conditions in which people live. Big difference between that and people just in their own minds, and then through their actions building up hostility that really becomes very unproductive and very dangerous. And seeing or feeling and sensing the reaction of so many people of different backgrounds to Mandela, not only his visit, but what that whole visit represented, is very encouraging. And I think it shows how human nature can be influenced according to different circumstances. And given the right circumstances, human nature can be very, overall, very positive. But given other circumstances, it's amazing how it can turn very negative, and it's a very volatile thing. But we certainly, I think, saw the better part of human nature this past week in New York.
That's certainly true, and it's not the first time either. It really isn't. All these big celebrations, huge events, I don't think it's ever done better than when it's done in New York. Interesting, sure. I was reading Sidney Shanberg, I believe, his column in Newsday yesterday. And he was complaining quite legitimately that there was very little press coverage, like not enough press coverage. He was comparing when the Pope came to New York back a number of years ago to when Mandela came to New York. And the difference was something like 12 pages of coverage to half a page of coverage. And, of course, it's kind of unfair. But I have to notice that Newsday, which is the paper that's in the Schamburg Rice for, didn't cover the Yankee Stadium rally at all. They had a paragraph about it yesterday, and I could understand why. It was probably because it began too late for them to include in their Friday edition. But there's, I didn't see anything about it in today's paper.
I just want to check. I'm sorry that I lost train of thought. You were saying that Schanberg was complaining that was comparing the coverage of the Pope's visit with the coverage of Mandela's visit, he suggested that which got more coverage overall?
When the Pope visited.
That the Pope had more
coverage. Now, of course, you know, we don't want to compare Mandela to the Pope, but it's a major event, and I think that's something that he can't deny.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the media just doesn't seem to represent what's really going on. I mean, I listened to a couple of alternative stations, and they were covering everything just fine, but the major stations really weren't covering it as much. And, you know, I think that gets reflected down into people that listen to those stations and that see these media outlets as their only way of getting news. They say, oh, it's not that big a deal. Folks, it was that big a deal. It was an incredible historic event.
Yes.
And no matter what race you are, it's something that, you know, you really should pay attention to because it's awe-inspiring.
It is to think the amount of time that man spent in prison and that there was opportunity.
27 years. Can you believe that? 27 years?
That's
longer than most of our listeners have been alive.
Yes, and it was, and he had this opportunity, certainly recently, if he had agreed to certain conditions to get out of prison, and he refused. He felt it was only under certain circumstances could he leave and stayed in that much longer, that showing even further his commitment and his perseverance. And, of course, his wife, Winnie Mandela, as well, showing the perseverance of having to be separated from her husband for 27 years.
That's incredible.
And then to finally see these two individuals able to travel to New York and to see that they were able to be reunited and travel to New York. And, of course, what was interesting was how there was this emphasis, which I think is important, expressed by people, that it's wonderful to celebrate, and nobody was trying to rain on the celebration, but that we should keep in mind that Mandela cannot vote in his own country, so there's still work to be done.
That's true.
In the way of reform. And
neither can Bishop Tutu.
Yes, yes.
There's all kinds of things that still have to be fixed, but it's good to see something positive start to happen.
It is, absolutely. It shows that it's not impossible, even though it doesn't always necessarily happen as fast as one would think it should. It is not impossible to, figuratively speaking, move mountains. I think it's a tremendous encouragement, something like this, to continue, for people to continue to pursue an improvement in the overall condition of the world and of the people in the world. And you know, it can be a very daunting notion to improve the world, to improve the lot of all the people. And I don't think that it has to be a situation. I mean, it can seem like something to an individual where they'll say, my gosh, it just seems so overwhelming, all the terrible things that are happening in the world. I mean, it almost sounds like a cliche, but someone would say to themselves, what can I do? I'm just one person. And the fact is that when individuals unite behind a particular cause and pursue that cause, that things can be done. And it doesn't have to be every single cause. I'm not saying that people should, if an individual wants to pursue many different worthy causes and they have the wherewithal to do so, I say, by all means, go for it. But if a person thinks that they only have the time or the wherewithal to concentrate on one cause, I say that's fine. I say that if an individual wants to pick something that seems important to them, one out of many, many things, I say that's the way to go. But I think that getting back to the visit of Mandela and what it symbolizes, it shows that no matter what somebody chooses to pursue in the way of improving something, that they don't have to give up hope. And even when it seems bleak, because there was plenty of times, I'm sure, where it seemed, I have no doubt, horrifically bleak for Nelson Mandela, he persevered, and many who were involved in his release and in pressuring through, let's say, economic sanctions, whatever, political pressure, pressuring heads of state, governments, whatever, to put pressure on South Africa. It must have seemed very bleak to begin with. Certainly, it seemed like trying to just move a mountain to a lot of people. But they persevered, and change has started to occur. Again, a lot of work certainly seems to. A lot of work needs to still be done in the way of reform in South Africa.
Think of the difference it's going to make when he comes back to South Africa, knowing that hundreds of thousands of people are right next to him in New York.
That's right.
And that they care so much.
That's right.
It's got to make a difference when you go and you see that yourself.
Definitely.
And I think it's going to make a difference here. He's supposed to meet with Bush starting tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And I would find it very strange if Bush ignored what happened in the streets of New York this week and just went blithely ahead and lifted sanctions. I don't think that's going to happen. I wouldn't think so.
I wouldn't think so either. I think that would be a very I think that that's a very delicate decision, and I think that that's something that's going to be considered very, very carefully as to whether or not to lift sanctions. And you raise a very good point, particularly after the reception that Mandela has received, not only in New York, but now news reports have it that he's also gotten a tremendous reception, positive reception in Boston today. So.
And he's doing much more of a tour than Gorbachev did, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
He's having one leader after the other. I don't know who we're going to get next month.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
He's going out to L.A. next week, and it's going to be really something, the outpouring of support that he's going to see from the people of this country. Anyway, we want to take your phone calls at 632-6901. This is Eric Corley with Jim Wiener here for Brain Damage this Saturday night. We've got the tripods coming up. Yes, they are in. This week's episode will start at about 11 o'clock. And after that, we'll be taking your phone calls, speaking about this and other issues and things going on. And we'll have, in just a couple of minutes, we're going to have the second clue in our mystery as to just where that strange music is from. And if you didn't hear the first track, we'll listen to the second track. And we'll give a special prize to the first person that gets it right, okay? So our number is 632-6901, area code 516. Words of wisdom. And this is WUSB Stony Brook. The program is Brain Damage. Phone number is 632-6901. And that was Special AKA with Racist Friend. And we already played one track from this mystery record we're about to play now. The Tripods will be up right after we play the next track from that album. And in case you don't know, the Tripods are Long Island's leading family of mystery, intrigue, and passion. So if you have not been following the story, well, you'll have some catching up to do, but it's certainly what everybody on Long Island is talking about. That'll be coming up in just a minute or two, and after that, we'll be taking all your phone calls. I'm sure there's lots of people out there just waiting to get on the air, but the question at hand right now is, where is this mysterious music from that we're about to hear, and where might you have heard it before? Remember, the first person to call up with a correct answer will get something special. I don't quite know what yet, but we'll arrange something. This is it now. Thank you.
and to rely upon the tip.
Radio Free Long Island, in conjunction with the Three Village Tobacco Farms, presents The Tripod Family, the story of one of America's most illustrious families and their struggle for peace and happiness in the suburbs of Long Island. When we left Howard last time, he had just found a strange desert island and was trying to communicate with one of its inhabitants. Today, we rejoin him at the same time, and we hear...
I'm really sorry if I disturbed you, but you see, this seems to be the only island in hundreds of miles, and I'm very lost.
Hey, where are you?
I would appreciate any help that... Was that another voice I just heard?
Harry! Oh, Harry!
So you're not alone here, are you?
Come.
Okay, I'd like to find out who that is anyway. Are you Harry? Sir? My name's Howard. Is your name Harry, or is it something else?
What do you do here?
Oh, then we're back to that again. I told you 5 times already. I'm Howard Tripod from Long Island. I was making a movie on Whitney Island
Harry!
When...
Harry! Oh, there you are. Who's your friend?
Good morning, man. My name's Howard Tripod, and I've been adrift at sea for about 16 hours. And I just landed on this island here. I really don't know where I am.
It sounds like you've had a hard day.
Yeah.
Why don't you sit down and have some breakfast with us, as long as you're here?
Why, thank you. That sounds really nice.
Harry, clear a space on that rock for Mr. Tripod, will you?
I must say, this is a very nice island you have here, Mrs.
Baxter. But please, you can call me Edna. That's my husband, Harry, over there.
Yes, we met, sort of.
What you say go why forth without for this?
What? I'm sorry. I don't think I understood the question.
Oh, don't mind Harry. Sometimes he just rambles on without really saying anything.
Yes, he does seem to do that.
What you do here?
Let me see if I can get through to him. Harry. You, Harry. Me, Howard.
Me, Harry. You, Howard.
Yes, that's it. Now he's got it.
What you do here?
Oh, this is too much. I can't believe this is really happening.
How do you like your coffee, Mr. Tripod?
What? Oh, black with sugar. But only half a cup, please.
Why, are you afraid of caffeine?
No, actually, I'm just not all that crazy about coffee. I guess I shouldn't be fussy, though.
I'll see you when you come there.
I'm sorry, Harry. I don't know what you mean.
I made you some scrambled eggs and a couple of slices of French toast, Mr. Tripod.
Oh, thank you very much, Mrs. Baxter. Edna. This is just the way my wife makes them back home.
Where is home for you, Mr. Tripod?
Oh, a little place on Long Island called East Setauket.
Oh, I've heard of that.
You have?
Yes, it's right between Stony Brook and Fort Jefferson, isn't it?
That's right. I'm amazed that I found someone who knows Long Island. Have you ever lived there?
No. We come from Guatemala, actually. But we like to read maps in our spare time.
Wow. Can I ask you a personal question?
Why, sure, Mr. Tripod.
What are you doing on this island?
Oh, we lived here for over 20 years. You see, Harry was an English professor. And I ran a coffee shop, and one day we both just got bored, and I suggested that we go on a cruise to some remote island someplace.
Oh.
And, of course, we brought enough supplies with us to last the rest of our lives.
That's very interesting, but don't you ever get homesick?
No, not really. Harry does sometimes, but then again, he lost his marbles a long time ago.
Well, it's certainly incredible the way you two live in this island way out here.
What do you do here?
I know I could never do it myself. I'd probably end up like Harry over there in a matter of weeks.
What do you do here?
Could you tell me where this island
what
is?
What you do here?
So I can chart my course back to civilization?
Oh gosh, Mr. Tripod, I couldn't possibly remember how we got here. It was such a long time ago. We just kind of ended up here.
I guess I could stay here until a ship or a plane or something finds me.
You know, in all the time we've been here, I haven't even seen a single plane or a boat.
Really? Not one?
No, not a one. Well, listen, you can stay with us. We'll get to know each other real well. Owen will have so much fun.
Well, thanks, but I really have to find my way back.
No. Stay. We have fun.
And so it appears that Howard is now stranded on a strange island with a strange couple. If you want to be with us next time, when we'll hear Howard say,
"What do I do here?"
That's next time on The Tripod Family, a presentation of Radio Free Long Island and the Three Village Tobacco Farms. This is Don Topeka.
Global News Services. Spectrum, a program of scientific and medical developments in Southern Africa. In this edition, stoned viruses, a food intolerance data bank, South Africa's first private drug and alcohol center, and preventive medicine. Hello, I'm Anton Enos. It's generally accepted that computer viruses are the work of pranksters, and while extremely bothersome, do not appear harmful to computer equipment. But there might be the odd exception, such as the so-called stoned virus. The University of Cape Town's John Mumarch talks to Robert Swan.
As you're working, it's quietly in the background trashing parts of the disk. It's actually corrupting parts of the data on the disk. And after a while, it'll put a message on the screen to say, "Your computer is stoned, legalize marijuana." At that stage, you can be fairly sure that you've got quite bad corruption of data on the disk. The intention of the virus writer was certainly that. I should make it clear, of course, that we talk about this particular virus as the stoned virus, but there are a number of so-called strains of this virus. As far as we can make out, the original strain was in fact non-destructive. The original author, they're often referred to as hackers, as far as we can make out, did not intend the virus to be destructive. Someone else then modified that virus and released a new strain, which in fact is destructive. I think one can really classify the people who generate these viruses in the first place, who write the virus programs, as anarchists. They're out to destroy and make life very difficult for other people. There have been cases of prosecutions overseas. There was the very well-known case of the AIDS virus, which was released earlier this year, and I think the person who was responsible for that has been extradited to stand trial. But I think the legal ramifications and trying to get a prosecution are going to be very difficult. Of course, the biggest problem is to find the hacker who originally wrote the virus. It's almost impossible to trace them.
Yes, well, keep searching. It's 14 minutes after 11 o'clock, and that was a report from South Africa. Yes, and that program called Spectrum, the Stoned Virus, coming soon to a computer near you. Well, Jim, are you there?
Oh, yes.
Ah, how you doing? Jim, I should point out that you are, in fact, in the air-conditioned studio.
Yes.
And I am in the hot, sweltering
yes.
studio. Now, there's only one reason why I have to stay here. Do you know what that reason is, Jim?
Yes.
What is that reason?
So that you can answer phones.
So that I can answer phones. Can you believe that? We cannot take phone calls in the air-conditioned studio, so I've got to stay here in the hot, sweltering studio to take phone calls. So, I sure as hell would appreciate it if I saw the phones light up and people call us up so that I can swelter for a good reason, okay?
Make Eric feel that heat prostration and heat stroke
now, you think
are not for naught.
It must be at least 90 degrees in here. I
would say so.
But it is 90 degrees in here. It's and the thing is, this year we were stupid enough to believe the university when they said the air conditioning was going to work all summer, so we took all the fans out. There's no fans anymore. Last year we had fans. You could always hear them. Now, the noise that you hear in the background here, that noise is the air conditioner. Well, wait a minute. I don't understand. How could there be an air conditioner in one room, but there's no air conditioner in the other room?
The air conditioner failed. The whole system failed, like I was just told. How could it be working one place and not the other?
Well, I guess some part of this, not the whole system failed,
I guess. I don't think you're explaining it very well, Jim. I think there's a massive cover-up here, and I'd like to know who's responsible. I really would. Who's responsible for this? I demand some answers.
Well, Eric, I think that that's your heat prostration talking there, because...
Well, I am going to get more and more unreasonable as the night goes on.
Okay, I understand. Sure. But from what I'm told, that it was a question of... part of the system failed, and you happened to be in the room affected by that part of the system that failed.
Oh, lovely.
I know. I mean, I'm not minimizing what you're going through. As a matter of fact, I was in there earlier tonight, and...
You're sweating like a pig. It was amazing.
I don't... I was going
to
say that...
I had to change seats because this one was... Well, never mind that.
My goodness. If you say the word apple, you can't...
Why
without it coming
say
out,
that word?
No, if you say the word apple...
I wouldn't give for an apple at this time.
Somehow you were baked. There it is. You see, as soon as somebody says the word apple in your studio, the word baked is spoken.
Why don't you just say nice cold glass of lemonade with ice? Why don't you say that?
Hot lemon juice. See, anytime you say something that has any connotation of cold, it's so hot in there. There's some voice, a disembodied voice that appears. Mentioning something hot. That's how hot it is in there.
I see. Ice cube.
Steam.
Uh-huh. Okay. Oh, we're going to have to do something about that.
It sounds suspiciously like Howard, that person in the tripods. But anyway,
Speaking of ice cube.
Steam.
who is a member of NWA, the rap group NWA, for all you uncool people out there. You know what happened to me this week?
Unhot.
Which...
See, you used the word cool, even though you said uncool.
It's going to be a long night. I was sitting around in a car with a friend of mine in Brooklyn Monday night, right? We were, looking for something to do. It was around midnight. All the liquor stores were closed, and it's just, you know, I happen to think robbery is so much more fun than burglary, but that's just my opinion. So
the interpersonal contact. Is that the idea?
We're looking for something to do about to, you know, roll over a donut shop, but then we turn on the radio, and I, like a fool, always try to get 90.1 in Brooklyn. I know it's impossible. In fact, I was driving around before. I couldn't even get us in Port Jefferson. There's something weird with the radio waves today. So maybe our signal is going to places it's not supposed to go, but it's not going to the places it is supposed to go. But irregardless, we were sitting in Brooklyn, and I tuned the radio down. But I didn't get a station at 90.1. Instead, I got the station at 90.3 from Adelphi, which is WBAU. And I turned it on, and I was listening to this guy who was doing a rap show. And then the DJ came on, or what appeared to be the DJ, and he just started talking about all these things. He started talking about women's basketball at Hempstead High School, why there was no girls' basketball, and he just went on and on and on about girls' basketball for about 20 minutes, but it was the most engaging discussion I'd ever heard. He was just going on, and it was just so much fun listening to him. And then all of a sudden I realized, and my friend realized too at the same time, that's Flavor Flav from Public Enemy, because he came from BAU. He used to do a show there. And there he was. He had come back to do a show on Monday night. So the two of us simultaneously again said, hey, let's go over there and meet this person. You know, let's run over to this radio station. We had no idea where the radio station was. So for about the next hour or so, we were careening through Brooklyn and Nassau looking for Adelphi. I'd never even been to Adelphi University. So we eventually found it. We found the campus. And with the help of a very nice security guard, we found the radio station. And we got there just as the station was signing off the air, and Flavor Flav was coming out the door, and as if he was expecting us. He just, said, hi, how are you? You know, you come all the way from Brooklyn, eh? And it was really incredible. He had all gold teeth and just sort of a kingly appearance about him. And then we all went over to White Castle in Hempstead and just sort of hung out for about an hour or so, and attracted quite a crowd there as well. Most amazing thing. But you know what was really incredible? While we were in there, while the crowd of us was in there talking about various things, being rather loud and raucous and making jokes and things like that, these three people came in, and what looked like they lived in Bensonhurst, all right? I don't mean that in a derogatory way, but that's the way I'm trying to paint the picture. It looked like they were, you know, Bensonhurst-type people, you know, kind of big and, you know, muscly, that kind of, and white. And I was just sort of uneasy, saying, well, how are these people going to react to all these loud black people in White Castle making all these jokes and things? And after about a minute, I noticed one of the guys, so one of the Bensonhurst-looking people, looking at Flav, and just sort of staring at his face. And then he, like, went over to him even closer and just looked him straight, like, in the teeth. He was looking at his gold teeth. And then he went back to his friends. He said, no, that's him. That's definitely him. And I asked him, who do you think it is? And he said, that's the guy from Public Enemy. And I said, yeah, you're right. That's him. So he, it was incredible. He was asking for autographs and just completely into meeting this guy in White Castle. And it made me realize, a couple of people have told me this, that the folks in Bensonhurst listen to Public Enemy all the time. In fact, they listen to a lot of the same music that the black community surrounding them listens to. And again, that's an indication that this racial division, while the city is divided to a degree, it's not something that's non-bridgeable, you know?
No, it's not because non-bridgeable, certainly.
You've got the common denominator. You've got the music, you know, and that's
yes.
That's something that if people can identify on something like that, it's a start anyway. So it was great hanging out there in that White Castle in the middle of Hempstead, hanging out with all these strange and diverse people. And Dre from NWA was also in attendance. It was quite a crowd. That and Nelson Mandela in 1 week. I mean, what more could you ask for? Well, not much, I guess. Actually, some air conditioning would be nice. But
heat.
Right. Anyway, our phone number is 632-6901. Let's, in the words of Jean-Luc Picard, see who's out there. Good evening.
Oh, Eric.
Yeah.
Eric, I'd really appreciate it if you'd stop talking about the air conditioning.
Why?
Because it's hot where you are.
Yeah.
Where I am.
Yeah.
It's hot where a lot of other listeners are.
Yeah.
And we know it's hot.
No. It's not as hot as it is here because not only is the air conditioning not working, but we're surrounded by all this electronic equipment emitting heat, and it's a very small room, and I've got lights beaming down on my head.
Eric, the lights
aren't
working.
Dripping down onto the FCC logs, which I'm sure is illegal to some degree, and it's the most incredible, humid, uncomfortable possible.
You're just complaining.
It's only illegal.
I'm not complaining.
Get anything done.
I'm not complaining. I'm pointing out facts.
Eric, it's only illegal.
Well, we're doing it. Ad nauseum.
But, Eric, it's only illegal.
I mean, people out there know it's hot. They know it's hotter for you, and they know you can't deal
with it. No, I don't think
they...
In fact, I invite anybody to come up here and see what it's like and see if you can sit in this room for longer than 5 minutes. Because
I was just in there.
You were just in here?
Yes.
Who are you?
Where am I?
Who are you?
Who am I?
Yeah.
This is Michael.
Oh, Mike, the building manager.
Yes, the
one
who got it turned off.
Responsible for what goes on in this place, huh? Well, we'll have some questions for you a little later. But,
I'll be back.
I'm sure you will.
Yeah, I'll get you a fan, maybe.
Get me a fan. Yeah, can you get a fan?
Ice tea?
That would be great if you get a fan. I'll stop talking about the heat if somebody gets me a fan. Even if they have to, like, stand there with a newspaper and wave up and down. Thanks, Mike.
All right, Eric. I'll see you later.
Okay, 632-6901, area code 516. I don't want to talk about the heat, but... Let's get some other people on the line,
Eric,
talking about something else.
Eric?
Yeah, Jim.
I just wanted to mention, you said that you think it's illegal if perspiration drips onto the FCC log, and from what I understand...
Isn't it?
Well, it's only illegal if an FCC inspector is looking at the log while perspiring. I just wanted to clarify that.
Oh, okay. Fine. No problem, then. And,
okay.
I'll just put this drippy piece of material over here. Yeah. Fine. No problem. So, let's take a look at the weather. It's partly cloudy tonight, partly cloudy with patchy, dense fog, low in the mid-60s. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a 30% chance of an afternoon shower or thunderstorm, high 75 to 80, but cooler along the south shore. And tomorrow night, partly cloudy, low 55 to 60. And right now, in Stony Brook, outside, it's 20 degrees Celsius. That's 68 in the Fahrenheit scale. So it's cool for most people. It's steaming hot. But I'm not going to dwell on this subject anymore. I really don't want to. 632-6901, area code 516. Please call because I can't really stay conscious much longer, you know. Good evening.
Hey, how's it going?
Okay, how are you?
All right. Humid.
Humid, huh?
Yeah.
Well, it's only going to get worse, you know. This is the first couple of days of summer.
True.
Yeah. Where are you calling from?
Selden.
From where?
Selden.
Ah, yes. Beautiful Selden.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Well, what are you doing tonight?
What am I doing tonight?
Yeah.
I actually have to be down at the radio station in like 20 minutes.
Is this a radio station person?
Well, I help out Raz.
Ah, you help out Raz, huh? Oh, okay. Well, Raz needs all the help he can get, you know?
Yeah, you have, like, absolutely no intelligent conversation going on over the air right now. It's really annoying.
Well, that's true. So I'm going to do something about that.
Oh, like the worst joke.
What's that?
That perspiration joke was awful.
What perspiration joke? Did we tell a joke?
That was a joke, yeah.
What was the joke?
It was a joke. It was an attempt.
I didn't make a joke.
Feeble attempt.
Did I make a joke?
No. The other guy, he said that it was only illegal if an FCC inspector was perspiring. It was stupid. It was terrible.
I didn't know he was kidding.
I hope he was kidding.
I don't like being taken advantage of like that, Jim. I don't like when people make jokes at my expense.
Well, last week we had some really intelligent conversation going. It was quite exciting.
Was I here last week? Yes, I was. What were we talking about?
You were talking about flag burning.
Flag burning. Hey, the amendment failed.
That's right.
What do you think of that? And do you know our local elected representative, George Hackbruckner, voted for it? He voted for the amendment. He voted to alter the Bill of Rights. George Hackbruckner!
Wow.
He did it.
Did he really?
Now I'm really hot.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I just found that out, that he voted for it.
It just goes to show you
He's
can't
Democrat,
trust people whose last name begins with H.
I'm sorry?
It's true.
I didn't hear what you said.
Cannot trust people whose last name begins with H.
Well, I've always been a subscriber to that, but it's something that I never really...
The only prejudice, and God damn it, I'm going to leave it that way.
Okay. Well, there's some prejudices that I think should stay, and that H one is...
Because, like, everybody knows that's true.
Yeah, it is. If your name begins with an H, don't even bother calling tonight, because I don't want to hear from you.
That's true. You're right.
Thanks for calling. God bless you, sir.
Bye-bye.
All right. Folks named Harry, folks named Horse, my name is Mia with H. No, good. Okay. But, you know, all kinds of people like that. Don't bother calling because we don't want to hear from you. Good evening.
Yes, Eric.
Yes.
How you doing?
I'm sorry?
How are you doing?
Okay. I'm fine. How are you?
Okay. Two questions.
Yes.
Are you going to go see Roger Waters in Germany?
Now, what's the deal with that? Is it Roger Waters and Pink Floyd, or is it just Roger Waters?
Roger Waters, possibly Eric Clapton.
Really?
Steve Winwood might be there also.
Wow. I'd sure like to, but that's coming up real soon, isn't it?
Wish you could bring me back a T-shirt, extra large.
Yeah. When is that? Early July?
July 24th, I think.
Oh, it's that late?
Yeah.
I'll be in California then, unfortunately.
Not too bad.
Well, not unfortunately, but I'll probably be over there later on as they're really tearing apart the wall and any borders whatsoever.
Maybe they'll blow it up.
Oh, what's left of it. Yeah. They took Checkpoint Charlie yesterday.
They did?
They lifted it up with a crane. The most incredible thing. It's gone completely.
Are there a lot of callers tonight, or it's been kind of slow?
It's been kind of dead, actually. I think that's probably because our listeners are kind of dead.
Okay, could you do me a favor and play Alan's Psychedelic Breakfast?
That's rather long.
Or how about Grantchester Meadows?
I don't know. I don't know. We'll see how slow it gets, okay?
Okay.
All right.
I've heard those songs on the radio in months, years, actually.
Yeah, well, you know, we're the kind of place that plays them. We do have all these songs. I do want to get back to the musical piece that we've been playing throughout the night, that different musical pieces. Nobody has gotten it yet as to where that music is from. So I don't know what to do.
Florida? Something banned?
Well, it's not a question of who does it. I've even said who performs the piece. It's Julie Cruz, and it's an album we've had for a while, but where's the music from, you know? I mean, if there's anybody there with any life, they must know where this music is from. But the next one I'm going to play is the ultimate clue. If you can't get it from that, there's no hope whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So I'll give you a chance to listen as well as everybody else. I know there's millions of people out there tonight.
Yeah.
And thanks for calling.
Okay, no problem.
All right, our number is 632-6901. We're going to play you the final clue as to just what this music is. And again, if you can't get it now, there's really no point in going on past this point. 1129, here in Brain Damage. Can you guess where this is from? Oh, come on, Long Island. You know the answer. Come on. I played this music before, okay, in a room. And before the song was over, there was a crowd that had gathered. I don't know where they came from, but they gathered and said, "Wow, where did you get that? I've been looking for that for so long." And here I ask a simple question. Where is that music from? And nobody can get it? I find that really, really hard to believe. 632-6901. Do you really not know where that music is from? I mean, I find it hard to believe. I can't believe it. Do I look like I believe it? I don't believe it. No, come on. 632-6901. Give a call. Prove that you're the person that pays attention to what's going on around them. You know, because this isn't trivial stuff here. This is important. This isn't fantasy. This is reality, right? Yeah. 632-6901. Good evening.
Tell Jerry. Show me. And to live it up while she can.
Well, that doesn't make any sense. Good evening.
Hi.
Hi.
Geeks.
Sorry?
Twin Peaks it's from.
Hey, you got it. There's an intelligent person out there.
It's that cute blonde girl that's had a couple gigs and, you know, since then, and maybe she'll even achieve notoriety.
Well, you know, we got this album back in September. September.
Come on, Fisk, give me a break. I love it.
Yeah, so September 27th is the date on this record, according to our USB computer. And her name is Julie Cruz. She is a cute blonde person. And all of the songs are written by David Lynch.
Uh-huh.
All of the music is by this guy named Angelo Badalamenti.
Wow.
Who I understand does a lot of soundtracks.
Gosh, it's beautiful.
It really is.
And I can't believe you haven't been swamped with phone calls.
Well, now all of a sudden the phones are lit up. Probably everybody's gonna say, "Oh, it's from Twin Peaks."
You know what it is? It's just that the music is so soothing, and it probably lulled everybody into, I don't know, some state of altered consciousness, like what happens to my fiance whenever Twin Peaks comes on the TV, falls asleep.
Well, are you a follower of the show?
I have been, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I loved it, and it's so quirky.
Yeah.
I guess the popularity it achieved just goes to show how many strange people there are us out here.
who do you think killed Laura, and who do you think shot Agent Cooper?
Oh gosh. I think Agent Cooper might have killed Laura. I mean, he's they got a problem with women.
Yeah.
I don't know who shot him. It doesn't really matter.
Uh-huh.
Because he's going to recover. I saw him on David Letterman the other night, and he's going to be in the show, so.
Well, it could all be flashbacks. After all, Laura's in the show, and she was killed before the first episode began.
Supposedly in the first show, when it comes back, the next two-hour pilot, we're all going to know who killed her.
Uh-huh.
And the big question is going to be, will there be a future for Twin Peaks after Laura?
Well, did you hear the theory that Laura's cousin Maddie is actually Laura?
I didn't hear that theory, but it's plausible. I mean, you know, they do sort of resemble each other, and she did, in fact, know where to look for the tape.
Uh-huh.
And hidden in the bedpost, so could be.
There's all kinds of intrigue.
I sort of doubt it, because the series is so quirky that whatever you most expect, then forget it, you know.
That's true. And the good thing about it is that the longer it goes, the more in-depth you get into the characters, the stranger they seem. Unlike most TV shows where the more you know somebody, the more plastic they seem. There's all these inner depths that, you know, like Josie.
Yeah, you're right.
The Asian
right.
woman. She seemed like a certain type of person at first, and then it changed. Now she seems like a completely different kind of person. People change like that, too, you know, as you get to know them more.
And as interesting as that's getting, you know, with her, and as sweet and normal as she appeared, the log lady is starting to appear the most normal character in the story.
That's true. She does appear very normal. You know, you saw all the episodes, I imagine.
I missed one, but then I heard from everybody else who was following it that was the least successful episode.
Well, did you see the one where they went to the log lady's house?
Yeah, I did, and they finally interviewed the log, which she had advised them to do.
And do you remember one line she said something about close your eyes and you'll burst into flame or something like that?
I did, but, you know, I figured maybe she was referencing some past dream of hers about a Duraflame or something.
Well, there's a line from a song that's not in Twin Peaks, but it's from this album called Floating.
Uh-huh.
And it starts off saying, "When you told your secret name, I burst in flame and burned."
Ooh, Floating?
Yeah, so, it's called Floating, yeah. And the main title track is called Falling, and that follows Floating.
Floating, what is that soundtrack? Is that the Twin Peaks soundtrack?
Well, the Twin Peaks soundtrack, as I understand it, is going to come out in August, the actual soundtrack. This is an album that came out last year by Julie Cruise, C-R-U-I-S-E, and it's called Floating into the Night. And all the songs written and produced by David Lynch and Angelo Badalamenti. And what's interesting is, this came out in September, but it says on the very top, there's a little strip of tape on top here that says, songs from Blue Velvet and the ABC TV series Twin Peaks. So even though this was well before the show went on the air, they knew about it.
It was preconceived.
Yeah, and we just got it on CD, too.
I think, you know, I've got it. Julie Cruise murdered Laura. Together, they were on the set, they were discussing the evolution of the plot, and they had a spat, I think it was over the affections of David Lynch, either that or Mark Frost, and Julie got the best of Laura. That's it.
Well, there's all kinds of theories. We can argue for hours over them. it's good that there's something like this around. It shows there's hope for television when there's something
so mysterious.
I don't know.
Revealing about a subculture that the fact that the thing is a hit, and when it was first shown, Channel 7 or ABC, whatever, wasn't sure if they were even going to show it with commercial sponsorship because they didn't know what kind of market is out there, you know. But obviously it was a smash. So
and what they eventually wound up doing was showing it with far fewer commercials than they would show anything else with.
Well, thank goodness, because, you know, there's only so much tape on a cassette, so...
That's true. And, you know, there's another version of this floating around in England or in Europe.
Of the record?
Of Twin Peaks.
Yes.
Yeah, they made a two-hour version over there, and that one had an ending where they found the murderer. And I'll pay big bucks if somebody can get a copy of that for me, because I really want to see how they wound things up there, because they didn't have a series.
In the Netherlands, I think it was, that I read, where they showed the final episode, which was what we saw as the Dancing Dwarf episode.
Right.
Where our good investigator is an older man, and it was, in fact, in the future, set in the future. So we saw it as part of the dream sequence, and they saw
it. We saw it as part of the dream sequence. Did he seem to be older in that dream sequence to you?
Yes.
He did. He didn't seem that much older to me.
Yeah, well, they probably didn't do that great a job on the makeup. They put a little cornstarch on his face or something.
Right.
But what I had read was that they had seen it in Europe. I think it was in the Netherlands, perhaps France. He was an older man, and finally things were coming clear to him in his older age at a later time. So I don't know how the rest of the series went for them over there. But
well,
it would be interesting to...
I don't think they had the series over there. I think they just had the two-hour film.
Oh.
And that's why they had to come up with an ending for it.
Well, who do you know in Europe?
I know quite a few people, but I don't know if they have... you see, they have a different standard for VCRs over there.
it's pretty expensive to convert them, but it can be done.
Mm-hmm.
The services...
Yeah, it's very expensive. It's like $100 to make a tape.
Wouldn't it be worth it? Come on.
I guess, yeah, for this kind of craziness. Listen, you're going to have a problem next year, you know. Twin Peaks is going to be on the same time as this radio show.
Well, you know, I've got two ears.
That's true, and you can always tape one of them. I wouldn't advise taping this one, though, since it's a call-in show.
By the time Twin Peaks comes on, I'll be back in Manhattan. I won't even be able to receive you, unless this new tower you've gotten...
Well, the new tower can put us into Manhattan. That'll be quite interesting. I don't think it can do that, but it can at least get us into the areas around here.
Ah, all right. Maybe I'll set up a pipeline then, a radio pipeline.
Yeah.
I've been wanting to do that for years from here to Boston, because the Boston radio is wonderful and I really miss it.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, thanks very much for calling.
Well, thank you. You know, it's been a wonderful show and... Your whole station, every program, I listen to several of them, and it's a real pleasure for us out here.
Well, we try, despite the sweaty conditions, we always try to give you something.
Well, hang in there.
Okay, thanks for calling.
You could be out here on Fire Island in the cool sea breeze.
You in Fire Island?
Yes.
Oh. I wish you hadn't told me that. Now I'm jealous.
It's your imagination. Come on. You know, the dream sequence, the dwarf, Fire Island, it all fits together.
Which part of Fire Island?
Boy, what part of Fire Island are you in?
It's very obscure. It's called Spatangaville.
Spatangaville?
Is that...
Four houses.
Is that just south of Patchogue, or...
Where exactly is that?
It's nowhere near Patchogue. Well, actually, it's about 6 miles from Patchogue.
I see. So that's where you take the ferry from to get there?
No, Sayville.
Oh, you do it from Sayville,
There's no ferry that goes exactly here.
I see.
But we can come within a mile or two.
Well, that's fascinating.
I don't want to tell anyone where it is and have you broadcast it.
That's true, yeah, because you'll have a whole swarm of people showing up there tomorrow. Well, thanks very much for calling and for sharing that with us.
Have a wonderful evening, and thanks for playing that song because you made my evening.
Okay, well, I'm going to play something else that sounds a lot like it, so keep tuned.
Eric.
All right. Yes, Jim.
Eric, I think I know where that music is from.
Jim, we've already decided what the music is from. She called up and she had the answer.
I think it's from Twin Peaks.
Well, that's very good, Jim. It proves that you can listen to the radio and repeat what you hear.
What you do here.
That's pretty much all you can do, apparently.
What you do here.
And play classical music every 3 weeks.
What you do here.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's all going to turn out to be a dream.
have you heard what happened in Sacramento? Jim,
no.
Have you heard this?
No.
Sacramento, California officials who found the term manhole too sexist... have found a new name for those underground utility holes in the street.
No. Oh, really?
Yes. And Jim, I'm going to give you a chance to guess what that name is while I walk over and change my tape.
Twin Peaks.
That's wrong.
No? Okay. Let's see. Street... maintainer's entry?
Forget it, Jim. You're hopeless. You're hopeless. The city council adopted the term maintenance hole without fanfare this week to replace manhole.
Okay,
on official maps and documents. Maintenance holes.
Maintenance hole.
If you want to be cool, if you want to be politically correct, call them maintenance holes, not manholes. And the government's list of foreigners barred from the country for political reasons is far longer than previously thought, and most names were added since the Reagan administration, according to documents. Details of the lookout book emerged in documents released in response to a lawsuit brought by a prize-winning Colombian journalist who was turned back at Kennedy Airport 4 years ago. The list previously estimated by immigration lawyers to have 40,000 names has 353,324 entries from 146 countries, territories, and other areas, and more than two-thirds of the entries appear to come after 1980. Officials cautioned there was no way of knowing how many individuals were on the list because some of the names were entered more than once. Assistant U.S. Attorney Chad Vignola, who handled the government's case, said that an estimate by a lawyer for the journalist Patricia Lara of more than 300,000 individuals is simply wrong. Well, you'd think they could at least tell the people before they come that they're on the list instead of waiting until they get to Kennedy Airport and then having to go all the way back. I mean, what do you think they do? You think they put them right on a plane? What if there's no seats available? What do they do then? It might be a great way to get discount airfares. You know, just show up at an airport, be turned back, and, oh, by the way, where are you from? I came from Hawaii. That's it. Yeah, I was from Hawaii. You don't tell the person you actually came from England, and then they send you to Hawaii, and then you're there. What a scam. I shouldn't have mentioned that over the air. Anyway, 632-6901. Good evening.
Jerry.
Huh? All right. Good evening.
Yeah, hi.
Yo.
Hey, what are we talking about tonight?
I'm not going to tell you. How's that? You tell me.
Well, I just tuned in about 5 minutes ago.
Well, we're not really talking about anything that binding. So, you know, you can start your own. Well, we've been talking about Twin Peaks. We've been talking about Nelson Mandela, about Flavor Flav, about how hot it is in here. And by the way, thanks to Mike, the building manager, for bringing me a pack of pretzels and also some iced tea. That was very considerate. That's pretty much all we're talking about, so it's, you know, you can start your own subject if you want.
I was surprised about Mandela coming to New York, huh?
You were surprised?
Well, I never heard about him coming before.
What, you didn't think he would come?
Well, I don't exactly watch TV for hours a day.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't, he just turned on the TV and he popped on one day, so, no.
Well, do you read newspapers?
Yeah.
Well, it's been in the newspaper, not very much, but it's been in the newspapers.
I guess I was reading the wrong newspaper then, huh?
Well, maybe you were, but what do you think of it?
Oh, you know, I think it's great coming over here, you know. Because now I think that when it comes down to racism, now there's one man here that sort of stands up for, you know, just, how would you say, let me try and put this into words, the mixing of all the races in America.
Racial equality.
That's it, yeah, that's the word I'm looking for.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Well, you know, what I heard is on the news, they said that somebody was going to do a threat of assassinating him when he goes back to Africa.
Well, he's supposedly been put on a hit list, and so, in fact, has de Klerk. He's been put on a hit list, too, by conservatives in South Africa. And they were very concerned about that when he was in New York.
You know, I don't think they'll get him, though.
I sure hope not. But they had him in what they call a Mandela Mobile, where he was completely enclosed by glass. This device was it was able to prevent air assaults. Can you imagine somebody assaulting Nelson Mandela from the air in New York? I don't know how they would have done that.
I heard it was bulletproof. That's, I guess, regular bulletproof glass or something like that.
Right. But it was also, they were looking at it from all different points of view. But things went very smoothly.
Yeah, you know.
It was good to be a part of it.
Well, you know, a lot of you have something to tell your kids, you know, and your grandkids. You know, Mandela came to New York and I seen him.
It was a major part of history, sure, and a positive thing.
Well, you know, like I was reading on seen on TV, and they had a guy talking, and you know, he's just one of the great leaders, like Gandhi and Martin Luther King.
Mm-hmm.
Mandela, you know.
Can you imagine being in jail for 27 years, though?
Wow.
That's it's so incredible. 27 years in jail.
Well, I think that sort of put more of a punch to his cause once he was let out.
Yeah, well,
7 years.
He doesn't seem in the least bit bitter either.
Yeah, well, I was reading in a newspaper article and it says that the jail that he was in, like it was Victor Versa prison, had a library there, and supposedly he read all the books in that library while he was there.
Wow.
That must be a whole lot of books there. 27 years.
It's a lot of reading to do. So, well, we'll see what it leads to in the future, what his release will ultimately mean. But for this week, anyway, it was a historical event. It was a uplifting event, and one that we won't see soon again, I'll bet.
Well, it's definitely something to talk about, I'll say that.
Uh-huh. Okay, thanks so much for calling.
Question, the new tower you put up, right?
I'm sorry?
The new tower you got put up?
Well, we don't have it put up yet, but we're getting it put up, yes.
Well, how many watts will you be pushing out of that?
Well, it will be the same power, but double the height.
Oh, how many watts are you pushing out now?
We're pushing out 4,000. So if we push that out at double the height, it'll be better than doubling the power. Because an FM radio height is everything. And that's why, you know, a station on top of the Empire State Building will get much further than a station that's of the equivalent power that's on a lower building.
Well, I believe they have a couple of stations that are on top of the Empire State Building.
Yeah, well, we couldn't do that since there is no Empire State Building around here, but where we're going is going to be the best place for us.
Well, how high will your tower be?
I believe the figure is about 520 feet above sea level. Right now we're about 200 feet above sea level.
Because I got this tower. I live in Middle Island.
Uh-huh.
And it's up by where Birchwood Condos is.
Yep, that's probably the Channel 67 tower.
Yeah, because I didn't, you know, at first I had heard that,
with the flashing white lights, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
But too bad you can't get your antenna put up on something like that, huh?
Well, that one's not as high as the one we're shooting for. It's also a bit further east, so people to the west would lose us if
yeah.
we did that. But I think everybody will benefit if things work out smoothly.
Well, you know, even though you're only pushing out 4,000 watts,
mm-hmm.
You know, if somebody went through the trouble of going out and buying an FM preamp or something, you could still be able to pick you up.
Well, yeah, except there's surrounding stations that that could make it a lot more difficult, especially if you're in a car.
Well, I think there might be a school station or something, but every once in a while, if somebody takes you out,
uh-huh.
I don't know who it is, but it sounds like a bunch of kids from, like, a school, because they said something like, I'll be back after period three or something like that. I think it might be a nearby school or something. It ain't Longwood.
Really?
Got to be some other school station working at the low band of FM, because I was surprised.
Well, there's a station in Sachem there at 91.9. That's the only high school station I know of on Long Island.
Well, I don't know. Somebody took you out. I don't know why. It surprised me at first.
Well, if you know of pirates at 90.1, we'll certainly be interested in knowing about that.
I wonder how much money they could fine you for doing that, huh?
I don't know.
Well, it don't take a whole lot of money to buy the right equipment. You just got to know where to buy it. That's all.
That's true. Hopefully, you won't give our listeners any more ideas.
Don't worry. I wouldn't try to pirate on your station, huh?
No, I don't really get involved in the pirate issues, but I just don't understand why pirates would pick a non-commercial frequency where stations are already trying to be different, you know?
Well, I guess it's something fun to do after a while, huh?
Oh, it's something fun to do, yeah, but I don't encourage it, and, you know, it just seems like ironic if you do it in non-commercial land. But, anyway, thanks so much for calling. I want to get to some of these other calls.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, good night. 632-6901, 5 minutes to midnight, 5 minutes to Raz, I believe. I don't see him yet, but I'm sure he's going to be here. Jim, are you still there in the air-conditioned studio?
Yes.
Oh, he is. Okay. Well, I'm still here in the hot boiling studio. But I'm surviving. I'm fine. No problem. I've got my iced tea here and my pretzels. In fact, these look like really nice pretzels here. Too bad you can't have any of these, Jim.
Well,
they're in the air-conditioned studio.
No, it's only fair.
By the time you make it over here, it'll be all gone.
No, you enjoy it. I mean, really, physically, you need it more than I do.
I sure do. You know,
so
it's good to have pretzels and salty things.
Yes, it is.
When you're sweating like a pig.
Absolutely.
And the reason for that is because when you're sweating like a pig, you're losing water.
That's right.
You eat pretzels, and all those little salt things, those salt molecules, they clog up in your veins, and they keep the sweat from leaving your veins.
Mm-hmm.
Because sweat comes from blood, you know.
Right.
The blood splits up into the red dye and the water. And the red dye goes one way, and the water goes the other. And the salt molecules, they jump in and say, "Whoa, water, stop! Don't go and burst out through the skin like you do." And that's why you have to eat pretzels.
Well, you'd certainly deserve it, Derek.
Thank you.
You more than earned it, as a matter of fact.
You didn't know I was pre-med, did you?
No, I didn't.
I had to drop out though, because a lot of those professors have attitudes. But anyway, 632-6901 is our phone number. Good evening.
Yeah, can I talk to my good friend Raz?
Well, your good friend Raz, I think, is still in transit, but he should be here soon, all right? So give a call back in about 10 minutes. 632-6901. Good evening.
Hi, Eric. It's Christina.
Hi. How you doing?
Good. Called to say hi.
Called to say hi, eh?
Yeah.
Well, that's nice. Anything else on your mind?
No.
What's, I'm sorry. My brain is being melted by the heat. Where are you? What kind of climate are you in? Outdoors, indoors?
I'm inside my room, in front of a fan.
Well, that's good. We don't have a fan here, you know.
I should get one.
Well, maybe you donate yours.
I think not.
No? See, that's the problem. There's no more fans left, and everybody is using theirs.
Oh, well.
But,
we'll sweat it out.
Yeah.
You're strong. You can handle it.
Well, I only have to handle it for another 2 minutes, but Raz doesn't know what he's getting himself into, because when Raz comes in for the power surge, he usually dances and flails about all throughout the room.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, he's probably going to have heat
stroke. I wasn't blessed enough to witness that. I didn't get to see him dance.
Well, it usually takes a while for him to get warmed up, but once he does, you better leave the room. That's all I have to say.
Aha.
Yeah, it can get quite dangerous.
Well, thanks for warning me.
Yeah, my pleasure. So what did you do this week? Anything mind-shattering?
No, I just had regions and finals and all week.
Finals, eh?
Yep.
So what's this, high school we're talking?
Junior high.
Junior high, ugh.
Well, it's ninth grade.
Wow.
But still in the junior high. It's complete hell.
What kind of finals do you have to take?
What?
What kind of finals do you have to take?
English, math, social studies.
Boy, what do they teach you in social studies these days?
Well, this year it was global studies. It's Africa, India, Southeast Asia, Latin America.
What about Eastern Europe? They skipped that?
That's next year. I'm taking the European history.
Ah.
That should be interesting.
It should be pretty interesting next year, yeah. I don't know if they get new textbooks or what.
Uh-huh.
When I was taking that kind of stuff, it was very outdated, to say the least.
Uh-huh.
But nobody seemed to care.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Over now.
So, what do you got planned for the summer, huh?
I'm doing absolutely nothing, and it's going to be great.
Well, that's what summers are for.
No, I'm going to Myrtle Beach next week.
Really?
Yeah. I keep forgetting.
You better not forget when you're supposed to go, huh?
I know. And I'm seeing the Ramones July 11th. But I want to go really late, because I don't like any other bands.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hear groans. I think Raz is here. He is. Get ready for the heat. Raz has arrived, and he's...
The door. I was at the door for half an hour.
Oh, he's not in a good mood. He was at the door for half an hour.
Why is the door always
locked?
How did
you finally get in?
Some nice guy from the bridge opened it up. Ah.
Well, you don't know about jumping through the window, do you? But anyway.
You gotta show me.
Yeah, there's a pole vault outside.
All right.
Well, we're going to have to go, so thanks very much for calling.
Goodbye.
And we'll talk to you again soon. Stay cool.
You can take another call.
And good luck on your finals.
They're right? Over.
All right. Oh, well, good luck getting the scores. I don't know.
Thank you.
I'm getting my head together.
Yeah, Raz is getting his head together, so I'm going to have to give him space. I'll talk to you again soon.
5 minutes.
All right.
All
right. Let's race through what we have left, and Raz will be up momentarily. Good evening. Good evening.
Hello?
Yeah? Good evening.
Hi.
Hi.
Is this Raz character?
Huh?
Is this Raz character?
Who is this?
Yeah.
Okay, what do you have to say?
I want to know who this Raz guy is.
Who Raz is?
Yeah.
Are you religious at all?
Not really.
Okay, well, there's another three-letter person that, is awfully close, but not quite the same.
Oh, you're talking about that God guy, right?
That guy, yeah. Or a girl, whichever you prefer, but...
Whatever.
But just keep listening and find out.
Raz guy?
Yeah, keep listening. Just don't turn the radio away, you know? It's better for you if you keep it set at 90.1 FM all the time.
Why?
It's just a lot safer to do something like that. Trust me.
You really cool guy?
We're all really cool people here, except when we sit down in the master control room and it's 95 degrees. But apart from that, we're really cool.
I don't know.
Trust us.
Well, all right, I'll trust you.
Okay. That's it for tonight, folks. My head is about to explode. But, Jim, I want to thank you very much for sitting there in the air-conditioned studio all this time and making sure the air conditioner didn't fail in that studio.
Anytime, Eric.
You sound so relaxed now and so happy.
I guess I am.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I feel bad for you that you're in that studio.
Well, I'm going to sit in that studio while Raz is on the air sweating in here. I don't know why, just I'm sort of vindictive in that way. Jim, we'll see you again in 3 weeks.
Thank you, yes.
All right, and we'll see what's going on between now and then. I'm sure a lot of fascinating things will happen.
No doubt.
Yeah. Now, we're going to close off the show with a song for all you Twin Peaks fans. That sounds a lot like the Twin Peaks song, but it's not the Twin Peaks song. It's another song off the same album by, once again, her name is Julie Cruz, and the album is called Floating Into the Night. It came out last year. And what we're going to hear is a song called The World Spins, and it certainly does. I'm Eric Corley. The program is Brain Damage. We'll be back again next week, hopefully in a much cooler environment, but we'll see. And we'll see you at some point anyway. Stay tuned for Raz. Good night. Thank you.
supremacy over others. Surge, to rise and fall actively. Power, physical might, mental or moral vigor. Surge, a sweeping onward like a wave of the sea or emotion. Power, force or energy used to do work, the time rate at which work is done. Surge, a transient sudden increase of current in an electrical circuit. Power surge. Undefined.
silence is deaf-like, and deaf-like it is here on the Power Surge, 90.1 WUSB in Stony Brook, welcoming you back to another brutal thrash, death, and speed metal night. Got some interesting things tonight. Latest from Entombed. Also, some stuff released out by Exodus. Some tickets to give away. Gore, two pairs of tickets. Faith No More and Baton Rouge. Stay in tune. Let's get into things really quickly on the Power Surge with some Pestilence. Stippling Flames. We go out of the body. 632-6901. We'll open the request lines in about 15 minutes.